Welcome back to Sports Central. Let's talk some Buccos now. Mike Vukovakin from Pittsburgh Sports Now, going to be a weekly guest with us here throughout the summer talking some Pirates. What's going on today, Mike? How you doing today, pal?
Oh, it is awesome, Corey. Hearing you sing, we got 70 degrees here in Hopewell, sitting out on the patio, sunny skies, can't beat that.
Yeah, my singing part, you can beat that, but everything else you said.
Pretty good there. I like the falsetto you got.
Nice. That's great. Mike, okay, so the Pirates are 1-6. They're obviously terrible. I want to come in here every day and talk some Pirates and try to build on some positive things and say, hey, here's something. Because all I've got right now, all I've really got right now is they think they're going to be good in 3 years. And so it's hard to go through a baseball season for a team that might win 50, 55 games. And the only thing you can ever talk about is 3 years from now. So I want you, after a 1-6 start, can you tell me the one thing that you are most optimistic about with the Pittsburgh Pirates right now?
With the current team, if I had to, I actually think they have some, although it hasn't shown it, because I believe they've been overused because of the lack of quality starts. I actually think their bullpen's okay. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think they can't, put it this way, I think they can be okay. I think they have the potential if they're not taxed. And yesterday, you know, it was their best start by a starter by Anderson, and he only won 5 3rd innings. When you're asked to throw 3 4 innings every game, and you're playing night after night, I don't care how good you are, sooner or later you're going to get hit hard. I think they have good arms down there if they're used in the right situation, and that's what I see. It's bad when it's the bullpen, and that's the only bright spot. Unfortunately, Key Brian Hayes, we haven't been able to see him aside from, two games, one game. But that's it. And I'm with you. I love baseball. I follow the Pirates my whole life. I'm just to the point where I'm okay with knowing that. I don't think it'll be 3 years. Sherrington has done a very good job of, at least on paper, of building from the ground up as far as the prospects go. And I think by the end of this season, we're going to be seeing some of these guys that have been drafted. I think they're going to make an early arrival, as sort of like what Key Brian Hayes has done. And I think by next year, you're going to see a whole different group of young guys that I think the fan base, at least it'll give them hope, because, they have some pedigree behind them.
Yeah, and I like everything you said, except for the service time component of all that kind of nixes some of that. The Pirates, they may bring up some younger players this year, but because of the Super 2 stuff, they've never brought up. Now, this was a different administration and everything, but they've never brought up the young guys in April or May, you know, to start the next season. And so when they do that, I will be surprised, but I'd like to see them do that to start next year. And that kind of gets back to my bigger point here, Mike. I've been talking about this a lot, and believe me, folks, I do want to hit on some optimism and some positive things, and Mike did talk about the bullpen, so we'll get back to that in a bit. But my concern is this. Even if the plan works, even if Charrington's plan works, you still have an owner that's not going to pay people. You still have an owner that's going to do things to circumvent having to pay people. You still have an owner that is going to trade away pieces at the trade deadline because he knows he won't be able to sign guys. So see what I'm saying? Even if the plan works, I just wonder if they'll be able to get over the hump with all of these obstacles.
I see that, and my hope is the hope of all baseball fans, of not only people that follow the Pirates, but also medium and small markets, are that sometime between now and the next few years, there's some sort of a labor agreement that, you know, we've been talking about this forever. That's the only hope. That's the only realistic hope for teams like the Pirates. They need something financially that allows them to be in the ball game. And I don't know. I think nutting will spend – when there's somebody, you know, he's spent on a few guys, and unfortunately he's got burned. He hasn't spent enough. They knew they were never going to be able to pay Gerrit Cole. But, you know, they spend money on Gregory Polanco, and, you know, we see what we have. It was bad money spent. They tried to beat the system, sign him early, and it didn't work. Did the same thing with Starling Marte.
Yeah.
You know, he's an okay player, but he's not a player to build around. He's not a block like Hayes.
Then he got suspended for most of a season, and that
right, exactly. So they made the right choice on him. They haven't. I know that's the narrative. That's the thing that people say. But Andrew McCutchen, I remember that. All the fans were clamoring for sign Andrew McCutchen. He's the face of the franchise.
It worked.
Andrew McCutchen hasn't had a good season, or a superstar season, or above average season since he left Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and so here's the thing about McCutchen, too. The thing about McCutchen, which is always so fascinating, because I've touched on this, I think Andrew McCutchen cost himself $100 million, $75 million at least. He signed 6 years for $50 million, and he got his $50 million. But if he would have waited two more years, he could have gotten 6 years for $125, $150 million.
Yep.
And so if I'm any other player, I look at Andrew McCutchen as a little bit of a cautionary. Again, so Ke'Bryan Hayes. The Pirates want to sign Ke'Bryan Hayes to a long-term deal. But if he ends up being as good as he – why would Ke'Bryan Hayes give up extra years and extra potential money to sign a long-term deal anytime soon?
See, I think the bigger problem is I know the money is something that is under the spotlight or under the microscope a lot. I think the bigger problem is I want to be in the situation where – the Pirates have developed players to the point where they're good enough to make big money. If you go down their draft history the last few years, you'd be hard-pressed to name five guys that they've developed through their system that you say that guy deserved money. Gerrit Cole is one of them. After that, you could, I have a hard time naming anybody. Starling Marte, as I mentioned, all these guys – I think that's a narrative out there, and it's, to some point it's true. But the bigger problem with this Pirate organization is, and hopefully this has changed now with Sherrington, they haven't developed nearly enough players for where they've been drafting. They're high on the draft board pretty much every year, or at least in a good position, and they have nothing to show for it. They have nothing to show for it as far as legitimate prospects, and hopefully that changes with their first pick this year, Nick Gonzalez, because I think he's a guy that will definitely be in Pittsburgh next season.
Yeah, Mike Vukovic, join us talking some Pirates here. We'll do this every week with Mike, and there is hope. The curve start here in a month, and we'll see some of these guys this year and next year. And look, I think as long as Ben Cherington's there, he's going to continue to unload some pieces over the next few years, and so we're going to see more of these young prospects that they're hoping to build. So here's the thing. You've got to hit on these guys. They got 11 yeah. prospects back in the trades for Bell and Musgrove and Tyone.
Okay.
So you've got to have roughly 40% of those or more to pan out. If three or four pan out, that's okay. You need four or five. If you can get six or seven, now you've hit a home run. But if you get four, five, six of these guys to pan out and become everyday legitimate players or pitchers, then the plan will have worked.
Yeah. I go by – I'm not smart enough. I'm not going to pretend I am. I go by the people that do this for a living. Prior to Sherrington coming in, the Baseball America rated the Pirate system as 31st. In all of baseball. Since the new regime took over and they made the 11 acquisitions, as you just mentioned, they now have the Pirates up to 15. So that's a jump of 16 spots
yep.
by players. And now we have to see if these guys develop or not. It's nice to say that they're number 15, but these guys got to actually come up here and do it, and we'll see. They acquired a shortstop that looks like he's their shortstop of the future in the Marte trade. They got Gonzalez with a first pick last year. They have Ke'Bryan Hayes, Travis Wesley, who should be with the curve, if not the Pirates this season. He's a guy that they've mentioned as a guy that could be in here in August as the center fielder. So there's pieces. They've acquired some arms. See if these new minor league coordinators, minor league coaches, and instructors are actually able to develop, mold these pieces of clay into something that's good artwork.
Mike McCovican joining us, talking some Buccos. You mentioned earlier about the bullpen, and I do think that that is something to be optimistic about. Pirates have typically been pretty good in the bullpen for years and years and years. And the one issue has become they have to log so many innings, and the Tony Watson syndrome. You guys pitching every day. You guys got 75, 80 appearances, especially because the starters aren't going to go deep into games. And so by the time we get to August, everybody's gassed. And then if you miss somebody or two, now you don't quite have the depth built up yet at AAA. You see where I'm getting at? The bullpen is certainly – this all kind of leads into my theory of no matter what happens between now and June, July, August, September could be really, really bad, because if they start missing a guy here or there, some injuries, that's where the depth, immediate depth, just isn't there.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about that. The way I'm looking at it is every game, I try to now I go through, and it's sad that I'm not, obviously I'm rooting for them to win. I'm a media member, but I don't, you're not supposed to root, but obviously I root for the Pirates to win. I look for bright spots that I can take out of every game, and that's what I'm doing. I don't expect any wins, and actually it's better for them if they don't win. They want a high pick. They want the number one or two pick next year to build this thing up, because the biggest story of the offseason, or the biggest story of this season for the Pirates, won't be anything that happens at PNC Park. It's who they take in the draft this year, and that's going to be a fascinating story between Kumar Rocker from Vanderbilt and Jack Leiter from Vanderbilt. Two guys that, if you look at their numbers, they look like number ones in a rotation, the kind of guys the Pirates need. It was assumed that it was just going to be Kumar Rocker as the guy, but the way Jack Leiter, who's the son of Al Leiter, a former major league pitcher, the way he's throwing, he's making a very good case to be the number one pick. And that's a guy, as I mentioned, guys that can come right in. I don't think either of those guys are going to need much, if any, time in the minor leagues. They're going to be almost Strasburg-like, meaning they could pitch right away. And they're another piece that I expect to be here in the rotation next year. And you couple that, if they're bad again this year, you get the number one pick. That's how you build it up. Unfortunately for the Pirates fans, they're going to have to go through this for another year, but hopefully this front office actually knows what they're doing as opposed to the other regime, and we'll have something to actually watch.
What was your record prediction, by the way? Mine was 61-101. That's looking awfully optimistic now, boy. But what would you have winning?
Yeah, mine's worse than yours. As far as I was more optimistic, I was drinking too much Kool-Aid, or maybe I was drinking too much Bud Light when I was making it. But I picked 65 wins.
Okay. After the first win over the Cubs, you're like, yeah, baby, I'm on to something here.
Oh, yeah, I was pounding my chest. Look at that, 65 win. Now I'm going to be.
Kind of like I was pounding my chest in your bracket pool when I was in first place after the first round. I told my wife, this pool's worth $3,000. You were in the top five or six. Once mine fell apart, I was done. So how did that finish? How'd you do in that?
Actually, I would have finished in third place had
Gonzaga.
Had Gonzaga win, I finished in third. But my wife, who doesn't watch a lick of sports, she told me the week we were watching Selection Sunday, she was sitting on the couch, said, I might just do one this year just for fun. I might just pick it out. I said, okay, cool. And then she said, nah, I'm not going to do it later on in the week. And then the morning of, she's a teacher, and she texted me from school, I'm going to do one. She filled one out from her office desk. She finished in third place, not knowing anything, because Baylor won.
Nice. Okay. did she cash in pretty good?
$300.
Okay, hey. I consider a nice cash in really anything over 50, because if you're paying $5-$10 for, if you cash in at 50 in anything, that'll pay for you to be in 8 or 10 pools. So you've at least made money for the year.
Yeah, third place was third place was 300, second place was 600, and first place a little bit more.
I was in first place. I was so excited. I told my wife, "Hey, this is probably $2,000 or $3,000 here." And but then day three happened. It was the Sunday, and man, everything fell apart on that Sunday.
Yeah, Oral Roberts.
Yes,
a lot of people in.
That's exactly right, Mike. We'll do this every week. Appreciate it, buddy.
Anytime, Corey. Thank you.
We'll talk some Buccos. Mike Vakovkin from Pittsburgh Sports Now every week.